God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps upon the sea, and he rides upon the storm. His ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts, for as high as the heavens are above the earth are his ways than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Therefore, somebody ought to say this morning, Lord, you just speak, and I'll do it. Lord, you just tell me what you want me to do, and I will do it. Amen? Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the gospel according to Luke. The chapter is 9. There is one verse for your thoughtful consideration. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. Luke 9, 23. If you have that, say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to read this text after me. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Can we read it again? And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. I want to thank the Lord for the power in his word. I want to thank the Lord that his word is priceless and precious. I want to thank God that his word is living. And I want to thank God that his word is enduring. Amen. I want to share a message this morning that I believe will challenge you as well as bless you. It's sort of a long title, but I think it communicates the concept or thought we're trying to share. I'm going to ask you to repeat this subject after me. The first thing you gotta do, and the last thing you ought to do. Can we say it again? The first thing you gotta do, and the last thing you ought to do. Amen. One of the great challenges of life is quality decision making. Someone said that when one makes a decision, it literally means to cut off. It means to end the debate. Sometimes there is a vacillation or a movement from one position to the other. And finally, when one arises at the moment of decision, there is the cutting off. And one must make a decision. And one of the most significant decisions we will ever make is whether we will come after Jesus of Nazareth. This is the biggest decision everybody will ever make. In fact, the God of heaven has challenged his church and his proclaimers to present every person with the possibility of making a choice. That's why God said, preach the gospel to all nations. Don't exclude any nation. and preach the gospel to every creature or to every person. Do not exclude any person. So one of the most significant decisions we must make, must decide, which direction am I going with my life? What am I going to do? Now, of course, we know that we don't have forever in this world. When you look at how rapidly and how speedily time is moving, one poet said that many voices cry out for time to pause in her passage, but she is deaf to every plea, and she rushes on. Time waits for no one. James put it this way: what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. But in the interim, in the time between the dash, you heard of the dash, right? The beginning of the dash is the sunrise. The ending of the dash is the sunset. In the interim between those two points, we have to make decisions. There will not be a bigger decision than deciding for or against Jesus of Nazareth. So in essence, we're going to talk about the things you got to do. And sometimes we confuse the thing we want to do, Lord have mercy, with the thing we gotta do. So you gotta pay your light bill, because if you don't, amen, you know what they'll do. Is that all right? You gotta pay your water bill, because if you don't, you know. And you gotta pay your car note. You might be running around hollering, "That's my car." You mess around and miss a few notes, you'll find out who that car belonged to. Is that all right? You might even say, "This is my home." And yet there is a lien holder who's holding the mortgage. You mess around and get behind, they'll show you who the real owner is. Is that all right? In life, there are some things you gotta do. And in life, there are some things you ought to do. So I want to talk about this morning the first thing. If you make the decision, if you've decided, as the song goes, you're not just playing church games, but you've made a personal commitment that I'm serious about my Christianity, can anybody say amen to that? That I ain't playing church, I ain't playing religion. I am serious about going to heaven. I'm serious about taking my life to the next level spiritually. Well, you gotta first make that decision. Brother Sperling read it so beautifully that many people came to Christ, and of course many came for many different reasons. Some came because they know he was a man who could handle economic concerns. He was a man who took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and opened up a Captain D on a grassy hillside. So he could do a lot with a little. God has always been able to do a lot with a little. God took drops of water and made oceans out of drops of water. God made matter out of atoms. God made time out of seconds. God took nobodies and transformed them into somebody. So I'm telling you, the great decision we have to make is to decide, am I going to really go after this man called Christ? And I want to tell you that Christ is something else. Oh, the Christ is something special. He's a man that kings, world leaders talk about. The Christ. The Pope talks about the Christ. Preachers, your subject matter is the Christ. You are to invite people, challenge people to embrace him. He got more to offer you than IBM. He's got more to offer you than the NIV. Amen? It was Christ who raised the question, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and you lose your own soul? So the first thing you gotta do if you're going to follow the Christ is deny yourself. First thing you gotta do. Amen. Now this is not a suggestion. This is a requirement or commandment. Any person, any African-American male decide that I'm gonna follow Christ, the first thing you gotta do, any Latino sister, you decide you're gonna follow Christ, the first thing you gotta do is to deny yourself. The Bible is a book of order and structure. God is not the author of confusion. We got a lot of confusion in the world, but God didn't do it. Amen? I can tell you who did it. The enemy did it. Amen? The Bible is a book that talks about put first things first. The Bible is a book that talks about get your house in order. Amen. And we ought to put first things first. That's just wise living. Prudent living. To put first things first. To get your house in order. To get ready. To stay ready. So you can be ready. Amen. And a lot of time people can't live effectively because their priorities are all out of place. Amen. Some that shouldn't be first is first. Something that should be second is first. So the first thing you gotta do is to deny self, because self gets in the way of following Christ. And he knew it. That's why he said, if anybody's gonna come after me, first thing he's gotta do is to deny himself. One day as he walked along, two men thought about it. Perhaps there's somebody this morning, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about giving my life to Christ. You thinking about it? I'm thinking about it. Hadn't fully decided how long it's gonna take. I don't know, I'm thinking about it. Two men, one day as he walked along, one man said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Then he said, but first, let me go and bury my father. And Christ said, no, 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 no. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Because self gets in the way. Self keeps me from embracing Christ. Self keeps me from following Christ. Self keeps me from giving my whole heart to Christ. Amen. Another man said he was intrigued by it. He said, I'll follow you, but first. You see, whenever you talk about following Christ and you say first, that's a mistake. He said, but first let me go and bid them farewell that are at my father's house. And Christ said to him, if any man put his hand to the plow and looks back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. So self must be dealt with. Deny yourself. You know, in life, if you're going to go to the next level, you got to learn how to deny yourself. If you're on that diet, you got to deny yourself that chicken. Brother Moss, will you quit meddling and preach? That's what I'm doing, preaching. I'm talking about self-denial. You may have somebody in your life.
My dad.
Y'all all right? And you say, well, I know this ain't right. But I'm almost singing that song that boy sung, if loving you is wrong. I don't, because you don't want to deny yourself. Amen. Brother Brandon Harris shared with us this morning challenges he's faced, and Brother Harris gave him counsel, and he had to learn how to deny. If you're going to ever go to the next level, you got to learn how to deny yourself.
Amen.
If you're going to ever get in physical shape, oh, Lord, you got to learn how to. You're going to ever successfully go after the Son of God. I can give you a scenario, and most of us would agree. How many would agree this morning that on your job, if you have to be there early, oh, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny that bed. Take up your cross and go to work. Is that all right? There are many things we have to do, and if I'm going to follow Christ, I got to deny myself, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. I must submit it to Christ. And even if I stumble along the way, I ask the Christ to forgive me. And I get up and I try it again. Amen. Brother Sprelin read that in following the Christ, you gotta count the cost. Before you decide that you're going to give your life to Christ, before you decide you're going to get married, you better think about it.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
Jesus, I need Holy Ghost. Can I get some help in here? Is that all right?
All right, preacher.
He said, sit down. Count the cost. What man attempting to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost to see whether he'd be able to finish it, lest after he begins the project and is not able to complete it, friends come by and they mock him, that he's embarrassed. Nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to be humiliated. What king going to make war? I know President Obama gets a lot of criticism and a lot of heat, but I must commend him for not putting us in another war. War is hell, church.
Amen.
Great price has to be paid.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, what king going to make war against another king doesn't sit down first? Count the cost. You don't just rush into wars. You don't just rush into debt. You don't just rush into a commitment to the Christ. But on the other hand, let me give you three things will happen if you don't count the cost. If you don't count the cost to follow Christ, you're going to find yourself with debts you can't pay. You got a sin debt and you can't pay it. He's the only one can pay it for. If you don't count the cost to follow the Christ, you will find yourself in a war you can't win, because you'll be in war against God. You can't win that war. No man, nations can't win that war. Amen? And if you don't sit down and count the cost to follow Christ, you will find yourself with a soul you cannot save. The only way to save your soul is come to Christ. The first thing you got to do, anything that's preventing you from following Christ, you ought to give it up today. Anything that's distracting you, you may like it. But I promise you, what you gain in Christ far outweighs whatever you have. Amen? Amen. Lay aside every weight, because my skin color won't keep me out of heaven, but my sin will. Amen? Then he said, you must take up the cross. Amen. And follow me. That's what he said. You must take up the cross, because it's all about that cross. And oh, church, I can't stop talking about that cross. Because at the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Paul said, I will glory in the cross. I heard somebody say that the problem of human guilt culminates in the cross. The problem of human redemption is solved in the cross. The fingers of prophecy, they point to the cross. The streams of civilization, they rise in the cross. All the great events of the gospel yield in importance to the cross. The incarnation was preparatory to the cross. The transfiguration foreshadowed the cross. The resurrection was the complement of the cross. Pentecost was the fruit of the cross. Galilee, Nazareth, Bethlehem gleam only in light of the cross. All the great doctrines of grace revolve around the cross. The world is stripped of its charm at the cross. Intellect is sanctified at the cross. My new life with a peace that passes all understanding is born at the cross. Earthly glory fades at the cross. My condemnation is lifted at the cross. My death sentence is revoked at the cross. My ruin is removed at the cross. The bitterness of life is sweetened at the cross. The darkness of eternity is illuminated at the cross. And somebody ought to shout hallelujah for the cross. Amen. Hallelujah for the cross. Take up your cross and follow me, and I'll give you eternal life. Here's the last thing you gotta do. Here it is. Let me sum it up for you, then I'll break it down. You gotta finish what you started. Hello? Brother Lance, a lot of people can start, but can you finish? Y'all hear that? Tennessee, Brandon, Tennessee could start, but they couldn't finish. You hear that, Jay? Tennessee had the Gators on the roof, but they couldn't finish. You gotta start, brother, you gotta finish what you started. Everybody, or a lot of people, are beginners. How many projects have you started but didn't finish? Amen. Can I break it down for you? As I say good morning to you. Number one, you got to fight a good fight. Are you fighting? You got to put on the whole armor of God so that you can do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to fight in life. Amen? You got to fight the devil. How many of this morning done fought the devil this year? You got to fight the devil. Sometimes the devil can get in your house. Sometimes the devil can get in you. Is that all right? But you got to fight a good fight. You got to fight the world. You got to fight the flesh. You got to fight other people. Hello? I don't mean getting no brick and hitting them side the head. I ain't talking about shooting nobody. But you got to fight against stuff that other people trying to do to you. Hello? Folks will get in your kitchen, go in your refrigerator, and make chicken soup from your stuff. Is that all right? You got to fight against other people, and you got to fight yourself. You got to fight those impulses and sinful tendencies. That we all have. Can you say amen to that? You got to fight temptation. Huh? Temptation comes to everybody. Is that right? The best of us are tempted. And I got to fight it. Ain't it some things you might find yourself won't, but you know you ain't got no business with? Oh, I wish I had some of y'all getting mighty quiet on me this morning. You got to fight. And then not only do you have to fight, you've got to finish your race. You got to finish your course. Brother Harris ran in a marathon. Brother Harris, you did finish, right? Brandon, I've been bragging on him. I don't want to look at the records and show he didn't finish. But he finished. And I'm saying we're in a race, y'all. You got to lay aside everything that's stopping you from running your race. Right. Is that right? Something, you know, there's some things in your life. Amen. Some things in your life may not be sin, but they're weights. And you got to lay those aside, because sins and weights easily besets us. Amen. And so I got to finish. I got to finish this race. I'm on a race this morning. I'm running to see what the end is going to be. I'm going to run on to see, great God Almighty, what the end is going to be. And then I've got to keep the faith. Paul said, I've kept the faith. We're challenging people. Come to have faith in Christ. I'm telling you, the best advice I could give you is come to Christ and wrap your arms around him and let him wrap his arms around you and stay with him to the day you leave this world. And you'll be so glad that you did. We're challenging young people in a skeptical, agnostic, atheistic, unbelieving world. Believe the word of God. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God endures, great God Almighty, unto the end. Believe the word, because the word of God is like a seed that germinates. It's like a light that illuminates. It's like a sword that penetrates. It's like a hammer that obliterates. It's like water that invigorates. It's like bread that stimulates. embracing you to come to have faith. Believe the Bible. Do you believe the word of God? I know a lot of people are rejecting the Bible, but I'm challenging you to keep not only come to faith. And once you come to faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, embrace the faith. Develop your faith. And the only way you're going to develop your faith, you got to spend quality time with the word.
All right, preacher.
Now, don't be like me. I tell them all the time on Wednesday night, I've been by Riviera Fitness Center. I said, I've been by there. I ain't said I went in there, Pat. I said, I've been by there. But if I'm ever going to get some help, I got to go in there. Matter of fact, I got all kind of exercise equipment at home. Some is serving as an extended closet. But I'm Brother Earl, but I can't keep doing that. I'm challenging you this morning to embrace the faith. Develop your faith. And then keep the faith. Amen. So the first thing you ought to do is deny yourself. And the only reason you won't be the kind of Christian you could be and should be is because you won't deny yourself.
Come on, help us preach out.
Amen. You look at a Serena Williams, a Roger Federer. And there's a new study now. Let me give you this. I try to stay on top of the latest neuro research. There's a thing called automaticity. There's a thing called neuroplasticity. Well, what is that? Neuroplasticity is a thought that your brain can learn and grow. You can become bigger, wiser, stronger because your brain has a plasticity. It's called neuroplasticity that says that if you do something with enough passion and intensity, you become stronger, better. Thing called automaticity. That was a study done that said that a new habit could be formed in 21 days. Well, new studies say now it takes about 66 days. If you stay with something for 66 days, when you first started out, it's difficult, it's hard. You don't want to do it. But the researchers say if you stay with it for 66 days, in 66 days, you'll have a new habit. Amen. And I'm telling you, God has so created you for greatness. Amen. God didn't create you to quit. A lot of people left Egypt. Amen. Didn't they leave Egypt? But what happened in the wilderness? Some folks started complaining. And on this journey, you got to walk by faith and not by sight.
Help us, preacher.
Walk by the word and not by the news broadcast. I know the news broadcast has a place, but I'm telling you the most important place is the word of God. So the first thing you've got to do is to deny whatever's stopping you from doing the things in your life that's going to lead you to hear, well done, thy good and... Then you got to deny that. Anything that's stopping you from your greatness, don't you die until your tank is empty. Did you hear what I said? Don't you die full. Don't you die full of your dreams and your ambitions and your objectives. Whatever's in your way, deny yourself. Amen. Whatever stopping you from being a great preacher, great husband, great father, great friend. How many got a great friend in your life? I didn't hear much. Anybody got a great friend in your life? Are you a great friend? Are you somebody that somebody can call on and say, that's a friend? Sort of like a story. Let me leave you with this. Sort of like a story I heard one day. So that was a lion. He didn't know what a man was. And say, he asked a rabbit. He said, "Is that a man?" He was a little boy. And the rabbit said, "That's gonna be." Went a little further. He saw an old man. He said, "Is that a man?" He said, "That used to be." Then Brother Earl, he saw a man with a gun. Boom! He said, "Now that's a man." Amen. I'm telling you, you ought to be all you can be. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, great God Almighty, just be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the what? The best. And the only way I can be the best for Christ, and I tell you, he deserves it, is let me deny myself. And finish. How many gonna finish this moment? I'm gonna finish what I started. Amen. And nobody can tell me how to do it more than God. Is that all right? Because he's all wise, say I'm wise.
Yes, sir.
And anybody can give me counsel. It's the Lord. He came down through 42 generations to be my teacher. He came from heaven's adoration to earth's agony to be my teacher. He came from heaven's coronation to earth's condemnation to be my teacher. And he says to me, put first things first.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right? He said, if you're going to come after me, you got to first deny yourself. Anything stopping you from being the best that you can be, you ought to lay it aside. Is that all right?
Amen.
Take up your cross and follow me. And I know he's qualified. When I think about a few words concerning him, I know he's qualified to teach me. Is that all right? He's sovereign God, because none can stay his mighty hand. He's providential, because he feeds the birds of the air. And not only that, he provides my daily bread. Is that all right? He's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He's unchangeable. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And not only that, Sister Johnson, he's all wise. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, dominion, and power. Is that all right? And then Paul began to talk about the wisdom of God. He said, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord? Or who have been his counselor? Who have first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again, say I'm wise.
Yes,
for of him,
right,
to him, through him, are all things. So if anybody can teach me, church, put first things first. Amen. Whatever's in your life that's stopping you from being the best Christian that you can be, you don't want to stand before God with stuff left unsaid and undone. Telling your people, love, that's the message. The first thing you gotta do. Say that. And the last thing you ought to do. Come on, say it again. The first thing you gotta do. And the last thing you ought to do. Now, church, don't forget that. Don't forget these first thing and the last thing. This is very important to you. Deny yourself. And I'm telling you, that's the key to the kingdom. That's the key to your greatness. Amen? There are certain things you know you need to do in your life that could take you to the next level. Can you say amen to that? All of us can we? And so the only way to do that is deny myself, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, yes, I have to follow Jesus. How many can say? No turning back. How many can say that? No turning back. Let's say it like we mean it.